Jim Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. We are visiting with IHSA Associate Executive Director Kurt Gibson. I always make my dad really happy when I talk about bass fishing, so I'm going to make him happy today. We're also going to, but then I'll make him mad because I'm going to talk about esports too, video gaming. But let's talk about bass fishing. I know, you know, we're all dealing with this pandemic. You know, everything canceled this past spring, bass fishing a spring activity, trying to do something here later this school year. So just a little bit about, give us an update for an activity like bass fishing and trying to get through this pandemic.
Yeah, we'll be happy to do so, Jim. And as always, thanks for inviting me on your program. We always look forward to our talks. But bass fishing, you know, it is an outdoor activity, and there's been some guidance provided from the state, probably since late July, in regards to the kind, actually maybe before that, about the kinds of activities that can go on as it relates to boating and fishing. In fact, our office just got the word out to our schools that as long as they're following that guidance, they can begin getting their bass fishing team together here in the fall if they want it. Go out and fish. I would say the primary pieces of guidance that the schools need to be, you know, concerned with would involve making sure that they don't put more people on an individual boat than the capacity of the boat would allow for. And I don't think the schools typically do that, but that'll be something that'll be a new part to the conversation that we'll be having with our schools. And then the other piece is when they're out fishing, anglers, coaches, boat drivers, boat captains need to be wearing some kind of face covering or mask. But yeah, it's good. It's great that the bass community is going to be able to get together and go out. I know there have been in a number of places around the state some local tournaments this summer, but it'll be good to get the high school anglers working with their coaches again.
Now, so when we look at the modified calendar this school year, and I know I don't think a final decision has been made on a state tournament series for bass fishing, but where would it likely be at if there is one?
Yeah, it'll likely fall in its same time frame, so we'd be looking at that first part of May. That'll likely be the most logical time for us to continue. And you know what? We're hopeful that by then we're going to have some closure on this COVID situation. And if we do, I know our board will consider whether or not we maybe would run up an entire state series. But all that still needs to be determined. But initially, we'll be looking at the same kind of time frame for any kind of postseason in bass fishing.
And then as far as any other changes, I know we had talked before about, you know, one, looking for additional sites to host bass fishing or having another round of bass fishing competition, a regional sectional type of format. And then I know was the Carlisle Lake, I don't know if its contract was up, but what is the situation for the actual state host for the bass fishing tournament too?
Yeah, all of those continue to be topics for the membership when we think about bass fishing. The state final contract with Carlisle Lake has one more year on it, so this would be the last year coming up for that. And then I believe the plan is here as we get a little further into this school year, we'll put together a request for a proposal for communities or lakes if they would be interested in hosting that. We'll have that available, with the idea being then that they would have the entire school year to submit those proposals to us, and our board would likely review those and decide if we'll have a new state finals location. They'd probably decide that in June of 21, so this coming June, and then if the plan would be that if there's going to be a different location, that that would begin with the 2021-2022 school year. So that's sort of where the state finals piece is. Your other question about, you know, do we continue to just add sites to the state series or have a second round of qualifying, like regional, sectional, state final, that continues to be a discussion amongst the Bass Fishing Advisory Committee and coaches. We were planning on adding three new sites this past year that was canceled because of the pandemic. We were excited to see how those three would have worked out. One's a little south of your area. We were going to add a site in Galesburg. And then we had a couple others down further south. So it would have raised the number to 25. And so, yeah, whether we have another round still to be determined. When we asked coaches a year ago, one idea that seemed to have some traction was maybe instead of that, maybe what we do is where we have big bodies of water, we put more schools and then have more qualifiers. Right now we're pretty committed to having approximately the same size sectional all around the state with the same number of qualifiers. But in places where we have really big lakes, if we can put, I'm just sort of spitballing here, if we can put 30 schools or 60 boats on a sectional lake, maybe we qualify 8 or 10 boats out of there, and in a smaller lake where we can only get 20 boats, we qualify 2 or 3 boats. So we still end up with a good-sized state final field, but we try to match the sectionals up a little bit better where there's bigger bodies of water. So a lot to be determined on that front still.
Yeah, and I haven't looked at all the sites, but is there potential for any additional opportunity with, you know, like Mississippi River backwater areas? I know I think that's Pool 13 up near Savannah, mm-hmm. and even Illinois River opportunities as well. You know, gauging those potential avenues is maybe future host. Is that something that's on the horizon, you think?
Yeah, it definitely is. We use Pool 13 up on the Mississippi River right now. And when we're looking at bodies of water, a lot of our interactions with the Department of Natural Resources, but like I tell schools, if they've got an idea for a location that would be good for a bass fishing tournament, they just simply need to contact our office and talk to me. We'll be happy to investigate that, even if it's not a lake that DNR has maybe suggested.
Yeah, and so the growth, we continue to talk about that, and the IHSA has always felt good about that, and I think the marketing and promotion of it has been great. And I even think that it's maybe the IHSA's best slogan, with the future fish is here. You know, I think that really, I really think that is the IHSA was on to something when they dubbed that slogan, the future fish is here. All right, let's change directions. It's an emerging. It's been declared an emerging sport, esports. And I know when this pandemic hit late last school year, that impacted probably a lot of meetings, maybe some of these advisory committee meetings. I know at one time we were talking about maybe being on the path of doing something, I think maybe as early as this school year. I doubt that happens. But where are we at in terms of adding esports as a state tournament series within the IHSA?
Yeah, that's just simply a matter of when and not if. I think we've had that kind of conversation. And you're exactly right. We were in a position where we felt really good about looking to add that into the state series repertoire this school year. But when the COVID situation hit, a lot of these new kinds of programs really sort of needed to go to the back burner. We simply have been trying to navigate these other waters about how we help our schools when they're trying to get back into some kind of learning environment. We're trying to figure out how we can bring back sport in general. So now that things are seemingly to be moving in a good and positive direction, and we hope that we can have fewer and fewer restrictions and mitigations in place before long, that's going to enable us to review where we are with things like esports. So I'm hopeful that maybe even later this fall, first part of winter, we can look to maybe put in place something where we could have some kind of experimental is a word going through my head, but that's not it. Some kind of like trial event in the spring as sort of a precursor to a full state series in the next school year, that 21-22 school year.
Yeah, and I know that this is a thing that you really, and I know, you know, there are many, I don't know if it's fair to say many, but I know there are a number of schools that already have the clubs already and are utilizing those competitions and things of that nature. So what I'm hearing is you're saying that you know there's already enough interest from member schools to put together a state tournament series with enough member schools saying we'll enter.
Without a doubt. We knew we had over 100 schools last year that indicated they would participate in the state series if we had one. This is my instincts tell me, and I'm old enough to have some kind of memory about this, but my instincts tell me when we do get to a point where esports is added in and it's part of our offerings as a state series, that it will take off at the same kind of speed that bass fishing did. I think our first year numbers will exceed what we are thinking we'll get, and it's just going to continue to grow in a really rapid time. In a short amount of time, I should say.
Do you have an idea where, like, the weekend in the calendar would come where you would say, well, this is the state championship weekend for esports, or has that been determined yet?
Well, it hasn't been officially determined, but our advisory committee, when they were looking at what a program could look like, was really sensitive to trying to find a place on the calendar that would prevent those students who want to do esports from having to choose between a bunch of other activities or sports. So the committee was really leaning on making April sort of the esports month, and had probably a sectional round in the first few years and sort of take that over maybe a 2-week period because of the nature of some of the games and the length of time they take, and wrap up near the end of April with a state final somewhere. You know, obviously the location would have to be determined, but sort of felt like April was a reasonably quiet month. While there are sports and activities that are gearing up for the spring, they haven't really fully hit their stride, and so the group thought that made the most sense.
All right, that's great to hear. And I know, you know, we're dealing with still so many unknown things with this current school year, with trying to get through this pandemic and, you know, see what happens here with the 2020-2021 school year. And we're speaking with Associate Executive Director of the IHSA, Kurt Gibson, talking about bass fishing, administrator of emerging sport, esports, and I know the administrator of America's Original March Madness. And, you know, it has to be strange for you, because when this pandemic hit, it occurred right during, you know, America's Original March Madness, leading up to the 1A, 2A state tournament. You know, then you deal with, you know, trying to make the announcement with the new tournament host site. You know, that was even impacted by the pandemic. And I'm looking at my calendar today. Let me do it. Let's see, what, 77 days I count until the first official day, I think, of boys and girls basketball practice with a modified calendar of November 16th. You know, it's hard to say on September 1st, well, what is it going to be like on November the 16th? But I know, and I've talked to, you know, Sam Knox down there, and Matt Troha, and Craig Anderson, and whoever, you know, you always look at that calendar now and say, well, are we going to get there? So I guess just kind of your observations of, from a basketball standpoint, kind of dealing with all this from, you know, the middle of March last year, and even when I talked to these football guys this year, you know, when you talk to them probably last March, they're thinking, well, there's no way this thing's still going to be around in August. Well, it's still around.
Yeah, right.
It's still around in September even. So I guess just a long story short here, kind of a long-winded question, just kind of your observations of where we've been, where we're at, and I guess where we're going.
Yeah, I think your sort of last point there is exactly how we've, in our offices, have been sort of shaking our heads and scratching our heads or hair a little bit, thinking, how can we still be in this spot, not only in Illinois but around the country, after everything we've been through these last 6-7 months or whatever it's been. But it has been the time, probably in all of our lives, for those of us that are working, especially in this field, that defines our career. We never would have anticipated having to deal with something along these lines. So it's been very surreal, starting back on that March 12th, 13th time frame, having to break the news to 8 schools that had qualified for the state finals that those weren't going to be held. But to the time then, 4-6 weeks later, when we're in Champaign announcing that we're going to move the basketball tournament there. You know, just recently in the news over the last couple of days, I really feel for our friends in Peoria who hosted the tournament for 25 years. The Civic Center there is in some real tough times and may not even be able to keep their doors open. And you just think about all the memories that were made there, and to think, wow, this is, I mean, we all have these moments that make us realize this thing is real, whether we, you know, believe in it or not. This is really having impact on so many parts of our lives, if not all parts of our lives. And to think about a place like that that may have to close its doors because of this pandemic is just, you know, crushing to the individual. But as we think ahead, we're glad that our coaches are going to be able to work with our student athletes. They've been doing that in the fall. We come back from Labor Day. Coaches are going to be able to have some contact days, so the basketball community is going to be able to work within their programs on skill development. They'll be able to do scrimmaging on the inter-squad level. And we hope that that just continues to carry into the fall. I mean, we have to, I think, find hope in the fact that last week a college football game was played and there hasn't been too much fallout from that. And we have to just keep hoping that as we take these little incremental steps, that that's going to continue to open up the door for high school groups like ours to do more and more and provide more and more opportunities for our schools and our students. But if we do think further down the road, you're exactly right. We're 77 days away from the start of the season, Jim. But if this were 77 days from now and things hadn't changed, our schools would just be conducting practice. There would not be an opportunity for games. We've got to find a way here in our state to have the state move basketball from being considered a medium risk sport to a lower risk sport. And that's been part of our challenge, trying to find out what the criteria will be used by the state to make those determinations on how a sport moves from one risk level to another.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot to consider, and I guess we have 77 days to figure that out. And you brought up the contact days, which start after Labor Day.
After Labor Day.
Yeah, and I know the IHSA just released information. There's guidelines available at IHSA.org in kind of a frequently asked question format that I think would behoove, you know, member schools if they haven't had a chance to review that, or even parents or student athletes to kind of review that. And I know here with the fall sports, you know, they announced the state tournament series and kind of the format of what specific to our audience, you know, cross country kids and golf kids, kind of what that's going to look like, a regional format. Now, I know they haven't made a final decision as it relates to sports like basketball, but I would assume probably the basketball format is going to resemble kind of what's going on in the fall, just with what the calendar looks like.
I would agree with that. That seems to be the way things are trending, assuming that no vaccine or treatment is developed for COVID.
Yeah, and that's the other thing you mentioned about, you know, the crushing blow for Peoria, where they didn't get to host the last state tournament within their contract last March. And then you see here this year, the first year of the contract for the State Farm Center at the University of Illinois, they're not going to be able to host the first year of their contract for a state tournament series. And that kind of puts this thing in perspective about whether you think this is real or whatever your argument is about COVID-19 or however you view it. You talk about impact, and I mean, you just look at the state tournament basketball series, the impact from last year to this year in both of those tournaments, you know, being impacted. And then I think about like all these holiday tournaments, you know, these great traditions that are coming to an end for, you know, a temporary end for a year. But a lot of these tournaments have gone on for so many years and then come to a screeching halt this year. So that kind of puts this thing in perspective, too.
It certainly does. I like you and many, many others here in our state. You know, the holiday times are fun for a lot of reasons, one of which is being on the road and, you know, going to Macomb for their holiday tournament, or driving up the road to Pontiac, or going down to Centralia, just, or to Collinsville, just to name a few tournaments. And to realize that's not going to be happening this year, it's just really surreal.
Yeah, and, you know, back to the 77 days until the winter sports start. And you know, you said if it was November 16th right now, and we're in the current conditions we're in, well, you just mentioned, you know, there, folks, there ain't gonna be no games. So we gotta get better, and we gotta improve in these metrics. But that's where we talk about the calendar, and that's the thing that I think is worrisome for a lot of people, is if we're not better, that's going to shorten that season even more, you know, the winter sports season even more in terms of the metrics. And that's why I know on this first day of September, we still got a lot of work to do to get to November 16th. So I guess what I'm saying is there doesn't look like there's any opportunity to maneuver or adjust that calendar anymore. So the work has to be done leading up to November 16th to get those metrics in a better frame for us to have high school sports in the winter.
That's correct. That's correct, Jim.
All right. Well, anything else that I didn't bring up today that you need to mention? We have to hope for the best.
Yeah, that's right. We need to hope for the best. I'd be remiss if I did, because I know sometimes that school administrators and coaches can, by the sheer nature of those positions, find themselves in opposition with people in their communities. I'd be remiss if I didn't just put out a good word for all those folks, not only in your area, in your county, in the greater, you know, Quad City area, but all around the state, because these folks have been tremendously resilient and patient as we've been trying to get those folks information, and they, like great educators are, they make the best out of each situation they're in. So I would just encourage your listening audience, the next time they get a chance, to tell an administrator or coach thanks for what they're doing, to do so, because I know how much their role plays in the lives of these young people. We get evidence of that every day, and we can't lose sight of the importance of that interaction.
All right. Well, we've got some stuff going on this fall, so that's a good sign with sports like golf and cross-country taking place here in the area. Appreciate the visit today, Kurt Gibson. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jim.
You're listening to WRMJ.